Ring the bell. We've done it again. Golden Oak Lending has lowered rates to 4.875 fixed. Lower your monthly payment, get cash out, pay off credit cards, and best of all, make no mortgage payments for 2 months. Lock in this incredible 4.875 rate and get your cash in as little as 14 days. Visit goldenoaklending.com today.
Golden Oak Lending, cured my blues.
5.81 APR, FHA, 15-year, 20% equity qualified credit. Additional terms apply. NMLS 114937.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line, plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time, it's subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Touchdown, Giants!
You're listening to the Best of the Giants.
And the Giants have won!
A weekly mix of WFAN Sports Radio 101.9's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
I've said this for literally 2 months. If I'm the Giants, I am taking Sanders at 3. I've heard from enough experts for the last year telling me how great this kid is. There are still some that still believe that whoever gets him, you are going to get a great player at that position, which the Giants sorely need. And I've also seen the experts that are out there saying he stinks, he shouldn't even be drafted in the top 3 rounds. I am laying firm with my claim that if I were the Giants, I would take the quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, just with all the negativity around Shador and what I believe is going to happen, then what I want to see at this point is Abdul Carter with the third pick and then Jalen Milroe somewhere later in the draft. That's now where I'm at because I was someone who was like, they're going to draft Shador Sanders if he's there. They're going to draft if he's there. And now I've been fully convinced that that is not going to happen. And I like Cam Ward a lot more than Shador Sanders just from watching all the stuff and prepping for the draft, all the highlights and everything. It's just you could kind of tell he's just it seems like a better player just watching him. But did you see Cam Ward's going to the Titans?
Because, I'm sure he is.
But did you see, this is the reason why. So he was asked the top 4.
Oh, the running back thing?
No, top 4 NFL wide receivers.
Oh, okay.
He was asked the top 4 NFL wide receivers. His answer, number 1, Calvin Ridley, who plays for the Titans. Number 2, Ja'Marr Chase. Okay, yeah. Number 3, Justin Jefferson. All right, yeah, makes sense. Number 4, Treylon Burks, who plays for the Titans. So he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, I'm sure he's going there. But you also don't know that if a team comes knocking and will give you 17 first-round picks to move up to number 1, I mean, things do happen. But yeah. Yes, I certainly expect him to go to Tennessee.
Yeah, and as I mentioned before this morning, if you miss anything, go out back on the free Odyssey app, or you can use the chapters function, whatever you'd like to do. I don't think that there is, at this point, there doesn't seem like there's going to be a player that either the Jets or Giants take that's going to have an impact on this season enough that's going to make them a good team.
Do you think there's a pick that's out there? I mean, you know, 3-7 is pretty high. Do you think there's a pick that will have any type of reaction, like when the Giants took Daniel Jones when they took him? Because that reaction was not good from them. Not everybody. There were some that were like, oh, you got to see this kid at Duke. He was really... Most Giant fans were like, what? Do you think there's anybody out there, or do you think there's a situation that either of these two teams stay where they're at 3-7 and they draft someone that we are completely cockeyed looking at the TV screen? Like,
no.
You don't think so?
No, we won't be cockeyed looking at the TV screen. The Jets have a better chance of doing that because there would just be too many players that the Giants would be passing up on. But the Jets are going to take the best offensive lineman available at that spot. And I would be surprised if it was something else. Now, if they went tight end Okay, that wouldn't surprise
That's
me.
That's out there, yeah.
But if, you know, if they ended up taking a, you know, a defensive tackle that most people had going in the second round, you know, and they take him at seven, then I would be totally surprised, but I don't think that that happens. But it's just, I think that both, I think you can get excited a certain way for the Giants. I don't think you get excited at all for what the Jets are going to do in the draft. I think damn near impossible.
If they're going to try and I hate to use the word safe, but if they're going to go the safe route and try and build this thing in the trenches, as they say, it's not a sexy and exciting draft, but it could be one that sets them up for a long time the right way. And we saw, you know, as bad as they were last year, there were times before the Foschino injury where you started to see him really play well, to where you didn't even know he was on the field because he was doing his job so well. And you get the sense that if you do that the right way, that maybe you're set up to win. I hate to say this, but maybe you're set up to start winning next year. It's not sexy, and it's not exciting, and there's no buzz around the team when you do that, but it doesn't mean it's not the right thing either.
Yeah, and I think, you know, look no further to, well, okay, you got to look at the Broncos and what they have done because Muji was there, but you also have to look at the Lions and how they built their team. And, you know, they picked two guys, and I know he was hurt last year, Hutchinson, but they picked two guys who severely, or three of them, I'll give you, and one of them wasn't even a first-round pick. But the picks of Penny Sewell, the pick of Aiden Hutchinson, and the pick of Amon-Ra St. Brown turned that franchise around just as much as anything else that they did. They also went and drafted Jahmyr Gibbs. That was more of a draft-for-need situation because they were stacked in all these other places, and that turned out to be a really good pick. I mean, he might be the best back in the NFL next year outside of Saquon Barkley. But yeah, it is.
To be fair, though, they also got very good quarterback play from a guy that when they made the move for him, I don't think anybody expected Jared Goff to play as well as he has.
Yeah, but they also had the offensive coordinator who apparently had the pixie dust. And he played better in Detroit than he ever played with Sean McVay. So we'll see. We'll see if he's the same guy. With Ben Johnson gone. But yeah, they got great quarterback. They got great offensive line play.
And yes,
there's people that'll,
for sure.
There's Giant fans out there that say, hell, if Daniel Jones got the offensive line play that Jared Goff got, maybe Daniel Jones would be as good as Jared Goff has turned out to be, which I don't necessarily believe.
Well, you don't have to necessarily believe it because we saw it. The Giants got very good offensive line play for the first 6-7 weeks of the season last year. Andrew Thomas played really well. Mm-hmm. When he went out, things fell apart, and they weren't good. When they were getting good offensive, they had games they should have won, like the Washington game for sure. But that did not translate into wins just because they got good line play like we thought would be the case.
Yeah, I just at this point with the way things have shaken out this offseason, it feels to me that Brian Daboll and Joe Shane are in impossible situations. And I like both of those guys. I really do. And I've defended both of them for a while. I mean, Joe Shane's first two drafts, terrible. His third one was really good. His fourth one could be really good, but I just, like, a season, if they do what I think they're going to do, which is draft Abdul Carter third overall, and then find a quarterback later in the draft, and then have Russell Wilson and or Jameis Winston lead them to a 6-win season, and you don't see that young quarterback at all next year, they've got no chance of sticking around.
I wouldn't think so, no.
Absolutely.
It's got to be better than 6 wins.
No chance.
And has to be.
They knew that, too. And by the way, let's not forget, for everybody that's still trying to make a case that the Giants... Now, you think the Giants would draft Shedeur Sanders. You don't... You think they should, but you don't think they will, right?
No, I think they are.
Really?
I'm
still
standing firm on I think Shedeur Sanders is going to be the number three pick.
Well, I'll tell you that the Matthew Stafford thing and the pursuit of him and how aggressively they pursued him makes me think that they don't like Shedeur that much to take him at three.
Maybe. I've been wrong many times in my life. I'll probably be wrong again. I just go back to the amount of time they took this season from everything I've read, making trips out to watch him, the Pat Shurmur connection, the level of, or let me rephrase that, the lack of buzz surrounding this team, which they do not have and have not had for years. The fan base is bored with them. I think to me, it's twofold. You bring in someone that has a lot of promise. And again, I'm only going to go with the experts that like him because there's plenty that hate him and think he's going to stink. I think you bring in a kid that comes in with some moxie, comes in with confidence, has the proper mindset and the headspace that can handle anything that's thrown his way. And I think it all of a sudden reignites a fan base that has been dead for literally 5 years.
Yeah, and you know what, Shador, I've always said that I think his personality is not a problem at all, and I don't think that Deion's going to be a problem at all either. But it's funny how everybody's looking for a way to drag him down, whether it be, oh, he's had the meetings and, you know, he was disrespectful and didn't seem like he was into it. Did the one quarterback's coach at Deion Sanders figured out who it was and then went and talked to him. Or they, oh, he's wearing a hood in the Kay Adams interview. Meanwhile, Travis Hunter said the thing that was the most annoying thing that either one of those guys has said that bothered me the most.
And no one says anything.
No one really cares.
Correct.
Which is, I'll quit if I don't play both ways. Like, essentially saying that. Like, I'd rather not play football than only play one way.
Which, by the way, we know would not be the case.
Right, of course. But still, I mean, that to me is worse than anything that Shador Sanders has said or done.
I really believe that much of the hate that he gets comes from his dad being his dad. I really do believe that.
Well, you're also flashing the watch and the driving of the Maybach.
Stupid kid being stupid. Right. Fair enough. He's also, when you know, has he said dumb things? Yes, he has. He said many dumb things. But he's also had some really good press conferences, some really good interviews. And if you, I don't know, I like the kid. I don't know why. It's not like I sat there and watched Colorado football last year. I didn't. But I've certainly watched enough of his sessions and interviews with the media. And I don't know. He comes across as a very headstrong, confident kid that I think the Giants would benefit greatly from having.
Yeah, I don't see what I saw like from Jaden Daniels last year or his last year and, you know, winning the Heisman. I don't see what I saw with Cam Ward, who may or may not be a good quarterback. I have no problem with him coming into New York. Like the Jackson Dart thing, like Jackson Dart played at the same high school as Zach Wilson. And a guy who grew up in Utah cannot come in and be a savior of a New York team. I am sorry.
Yeah.
You just, it's not, like it's, and you could say, well, what about Phil Simms in Kentucky? Totally different. We're talking
different
about
time.
The South growing up on a farm. We're not, I mean, you cannot get farther away from New York in this country than Utah. Mm-hmm. You just can't. And then be a young kid to come over here and then get spit out into New Jersey to save one of these two franchises. It's damn near impossible.
Yep.
I'm sorry.
And the other thing, and this is maybe this is the bulk of it for me. I really and truly believe that one of the biggest, all these kids have talent. They all can throw the ball. Maybe some can throw it a little further than others. Maybe some process it a little quicker than others, for sure. And that's certainly a big case. But I really do believe that if you can't handle being here, you can't play here. And we've seen it time and time and time again. Guys that have had talent that just don't handle it here well. And then, as we've seen in some situations, do. And I just think he's a kid that will be able to do it. And he will create an excitement around a team that they haven't had in a long time. And he's been a winner. And by the way, a 75% completion percentage last year in what was some are saying was a bad year now. I draft him at 3. That's what I would do.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
So speaking of the Jets and Giants, on Friday, did you happen to see Abdul Carter's social media as he posted a picture of Lawrence Taylor?
There you go. Seems like Shador Sanders is dropping.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, you know, now, you know, and I want the kid just to be happy. I want him to go to some place where he can be successful and where he's wanted, not where he's feared. And, you know, it's tough to watch a kid have to go through it, but it's also the reality of the business. And because it's, you know, Deion's son, and because it's Shador, and because of all the money that's surrounding him and what they did at Colorado for the Buffaloes, you know, now it all of a sudden becomes front and center that he's falling. And it's not the easiest thing for somebody to go through, but it is a little bit of humble pie. There's no question about that.
Yeah, and we'll see. I mean, a lot of these things don't play out the way we expect them to. I mean, at this point, if Abdul Carter is putting out Lawrence Taylor photos and it says once a Giant, always a Giant, I mean, you essentially lock that in, so Shador's not going to go to the Giants at this point. But I don't know if Shador is going to drop to the point where he gets to the Steelers at 21.
I don't know. You never know.
Yeah, I mean, it's a possibility, I guess. But then, you know, the Saints are they 9?
Yeah, they're 9th, and right now he's the betting favorite is that he's going to end up with the Saints, especially with Derek Carr's shoulder problem that just popped up.
Right, and Dion put out on X, he said, you know, that number nine pick is going to be interesting or something like that along those lines.
Well, we've come a long way since this whole thing started. And you remember, you and I are sitting there watching Colorado a few years ago and listening to people pontificate, the guys that were doing the game, Lewis Riddick being one of them. Oh, this is guy, he's going to be a great pro. Maybe he will be a great pro. But the expectations, and I think really in some cases unfair, but other cases brought on by himself and his dad.
Yeah. Now, all right, hear me out on this. Let me finish my thought before you just make a judgment on the name I'm going to throw at you. So I always said that the Giants should be taking a quarterback, and it's a shame that they lost out on number one overall pick. It would have been Cam Ward. Then I thought it was going to be Shador. It's not going to be Shador. And that I disagreed with that at the time. Now, I don't like the idea of passing up on a quarterback because you don't like him at three, but then taking a guy that you had potentially graded out worse than that guy you passed out at three and then making him the future of your organization. However, I can be sold on one particular scenario, and that is taking Abdul Carter at three and then finding a way to get your hands on Jalen Milroe, who will not play a snap next year. He shouldn't have come out. He's not ready to play. But he is this classic, has all the athleticism in the world. He could sit there. He can learn. You got three quarterbacks there that could start ahead of him if need be. And if you watch Jalen Milroe, and many people have, obviously, because of where he played, I mean, his highlights are mesmerizing. Now, it's like an Anthony Richardson type of thing. But Anthony Richardson got thrown into the fire right away.
Mm-hmm.
So get him and just put him on ice for an entire year. I can be sold on that plan a lot more than some of the other stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to say no to that. I mean, it would be nice for them to come out of this draft with somebody, whether it be Jackson, Dart, Jalen Milroe, Will Howard, you know, any one of these other guys, and Tyler Shuck out of Louisville, any one of them.
Yeah, but I think Milroe's different because of just how special he could be. I mean, he's like a...
He's an explosive athlete.
Right, I mean,
that's what Shador doesn't have.
But so that's why. I mean, like, I'm not going to get excited about Will Howard or Tyler Shuck or any of those guys. I'd get excited about Jalen Milroe and his upside because, I mean, he could just be one of those guys. I mean, he could be a... you know, Lamar Jackson type if he hit his ceiling. But obviously that's a big comparison. I'm just talking about if everything worked out for him.
I will say this, watching two of his interviews over the weekend.
Yeah.
He really came across like he knew what the hell he was doing. Like he came across like he was buttoned up and, you know, he was a smart kid and, you know, he just realizes that, you know, he's got to get his pro career going. I mean, look, Brian Daboll has ties to Alabama still. He knows what's going on down there. He knows the kind of players that they have. So, yeah, it would fit his offense more than Russell Wilson or Jameis Winston will. But then again, you don't want him to play this year.
No.
And by the way, if you did bring him in, I'm just trying to think. So if they bring a quarterback in here and they get off to a bad start, you know, what are the fans going to be screaming about?
Well, yeah, I mean, they're going to be screaming.
Play the kid. You got to play the
yeah,
kid.
Yeah, but...
Follow the Kansas City model, for God's sake.
Yeah, just don't. I mean, if anything, you play Jameis Winston or, you know, like you have other options there. Just don't play him. He's not going to be ready. I mean, unless Brian Daboll truly believes that he's ahead of the curve. Now, Jalen Milroe's going to the draft. Like, he's going to be there in Green Bay, which is, I mean, there's no lock he's a first-round pick.
Let me ask you a question. You got a special package for him?
Special package?
Yeah, special package guy with your stop gaps.
I don't love it.
Some stop gaps, you got a special package guy, and you follow the Kansas City model. And you're playing the last game of the season when the game doesn't matter.
Yeah, but then you gotta have you're basically wasting a roster spot, a guy who doesn't play special teams to come in for a handful of offensive plays. I mean, I don't even know how he wouldn't have to be a quarterback, right? He couldn't be the emergency quarterback. He'd have to be the backup in that situation, which you don't want. So no, I wouldn't have a special package. I'd have him holding that clipboard the entire year. You're not getting in a game, man. You are learning every bit. And I'll work with you. We're going to watch a ton of film. You're going to watch these games. You're going to talk to Russell. You're going to talk to Jameis. And we'll have a conversation next training camp.
Okay.
That's what I would do with him. And that would be exciting to me. That you know, Shador coming here would be exciting. I don't think a lot of Jets Giants fans would want that. But the combination of Abdul Carter and Jalen Milroe would be
all right. So that's the Giants. What do you want? What do you expect? I think most of us expect the Jets, if one
offensive
of these
line.
Two offensive tackles are available, that they would go for them. Maybe Mason Graham falls to them. They could go for them too as well. Do you think later on in the draft that they trade up and to try to get one of these other quarterbacks?
I don't know. I mean, I know that Jordan Travis thing is an interesting situation. I know that they want Justin Fields to work out. Like the Giants and the Jets quarterback situation are totally different. Like Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston are here for a year or two tops. Like the Jets are hoping with the upside of Justin Fields that there's a chance he could be their quarterback. I mean, he could be.
Who was a better team last year, Pittsburgh or the Jets?
Pittsburgh.
Then why didn't Pittsburgh keep Justin Fields?
I don't know. I have no idea. You know what it was? This is what I think. This is my best way of answering that question. I think they wanted to bring Justin Fields back. And Justin Fields didn't trust them because he got off to a 4-2 start. They benched him. And then when Russell wasn't playing well at the end of the year, he never got a chance to play. And I think that the Jets came in and said, hey, we're going to give you this money. You're our starter. And then he ended up going there. So
don't you think the Jets have got the draft, the quarterback somewhere in this draft?
I don't. No.
Okay.
I don't. Because, it doesn't seem like a great quarterback class. They got a lot of holes. I don't think it's imperative for them.
I mean, their holes mainly are on offense. They need a tight end.
Yeah, I know, but we overrate their defense so much. I mean, honestly, so they were miserable last year. They stunk. I mean, and they're not as good. A couple years ago, they were really good. I mean, in that year that Aaron Rodgers talked about how the Jets went up to Green Bay and beat them, the rookie year for Sauce Gardner, put the cheese head on. They were really good. Last year, they weren't that good.
Right.
So, I mean, it's not like you can't draft someone on defense to help them out. I mean, to me, it's a rebuild. It's guys. And I really think it's also going to be like character and the type of guy is going to be more prevalent with Aaron Glenn than the previous regime when it comes to this draft. Like he wants guys that are fully about playing football, no nonsense, whatever. Like, that's why there's no way that if Shador, which it seems like he will drop to 7, that the Jets are going to take him. Like, that's the anti-Aaron Glenn player right now.
Yeah, let's say Sanders was off the board somehow with the Giants or even the Jets. You don't think the Saints would potentially take Dart there? I guess my point is that...
I think they could. I think they'd be certainly intrigued.
So my point is, if you want a franchise quarterback and you identify one, I know you don't like Sanders, but say you love Jackson Dart, then the Jets should be looking to take him at number 7. It doesn't, for me, need to be Sanders. I'm just going based off of the consensus that Sanders is number 2. I like a lot of things about Shador Sanders. I think he's going to be a pro. I think he's, because of his father, he's not going to be overwhelmed by the situation.
I agree with that. I think it's unfair to the young man to say. I think it's the opposite. I think he's more prepared for the NFL. I don't love his skill, but I don't think he's going to be swimming here like some people think. I think that's ridiculous.
I'd like more athleticism myself. He's a pocket passer, more of that.
But, not that big.
But he can make some big throws. Either way, I'm taking the risk. If I'm the Jets or the Giants in finding that quarterback. So if you identified, say, Jackson Dart over Shador Sanders.
And he's there at 7?
Well.
I'm still going offensive line here. So my philosophy is going to remain what it is. Now, there are certain points. Like if you've got like the 15th or the 18th pick and now it becomes a bit of a luxury and the Jets don't have that. If they trade into that spot, now that's a different thing. See, but again, we'll get these calls here. But philosophically, we also disagree on this. To me, let's take Sanders, literally Shador Sanders. All right, some people think or think that he should go number 3. Well, in the equation or the situation that he doesn't and he drops to 7 based on the hype that was built around him, in a lot of people's eyes, it's like, wow, I'm getting value. I mean, we thought he was going to go 3. Hell, we got a chance to draft him 7 or 8. Take him. No. Because if I don't think he's good enough to be the franchise quarterback at 3, I don't want him at 7.
BT, it's Al on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. James is in Neptune. What's up, James?
Hi, this goes to yesterday. I almost couldn't sleep thinking about it. Kirk Cousins or Derek Carr, or would you rather have a Garrett or a Parsons on your team? It needs to be a defensive player that is Hall of Fame worthy. Then would you, Carter or Sanders? It's the same question. You take Carter. You don't take Sanders. You can get a Sanders whenever. You can get a Kirk Cousins whenever.
Well, when you're talking about from a Giants perspective?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so when have they gotten where's the franchise quarterback since Eli left?
Well, but there's no other impact.
No, but James, you can't just say you could get one whenever because you can't, and they haven't.
But we just got two, no?
You think Russell Wilson's a franchise quarterback at this point?
No, but I'd rather have a Wilson and a Parsons and a Garrett than a Shador Sanders and a nobody on defense.
I would agree with that. Now, the first part, you lost me a little bit. Thanks for the call there, James. And I'm with you on that, Sal. Like, if it's so easy to find one, we'll go out and find one.
It's not. It's not the most difficult thing. The Commanders had a good team, good players on their team, defensive studs as well. Didn't take off until they found Jaden Daniels. All about the franchise quarterback.
At the end of the day, it gets to that. Like, that's the final chapter. Now, some people could say it starts with that. I don't believe it starts with that. If I come in and there's an expansion team and somehow somebody, I'm either the owner or I'm the GM, you know what I'm doing? I'm building from the guts out. I know that it's boring. Nobody wants the big 360-pound lineman on draft night trying to squeeze that hat on his head. But guess what? When you're playing on Sunday and you need the yard, you got to push back the pile, jump in the end zone, you know, keep the sticks moving, that's the kind of guy that helps you do it. And conversely, when you've got to stop somebody, line of scrimmage, point of attack, 3rd-and-1, 4th-and-1, you know, massive spot of the game, you know, whether it's a Sam Adams type back in the day, whether it's just a star that is just a difference maker up front as a defensive lineman, those guys help you win. And if anybody knows what the Giants or the Jets' identity is, please tell me. Like, if they had identifiable identities, I might have a different approach. But because the Giants don't have one, although I do believe it's trending defensively, and I think Abdul Carter adds to that, and if and when they take him, now their identity truly becomes defensively driven. And I think the Jets are a great player on the right side. I know it sounds crazy. The Jets' O-line has not been good for a long time. They've got really good players there, starting with Olufashno, who looks like a star. So if I could get a guy on the right side, maybe the Jets' identity becomes the offensive line, and I'm good with that as a start with the new regime.
Understood. The Jets are in a different spot than the Giants. And also, to the caller's last point, right, he said he'd rather have Myles Garrett, Parsons, than he would the quarterback. How did the Browns do last year with Myles Garrett? They were 3-14. How did the Cowboys do with Micah Parsons without Dak Prescott? They were 7-10.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really pushing back on that. There's
the defense rests, probably to the contrary. The defense rests. Give me them. Look at the Eagles.
So you tell me this.
Look at all the top teams. There's a common theme amongst the top teams in the NFL.
You're talking championship, or you're talking competitive?
I'm talking division winners, competitive.
Can we crawl before we run?
Well, it's,
these teams stink.
I do think it's different for the Jets at this particular point, but still, eventually, to get to the level that you want, you're going to need the franchise quarterback, which to me is worth taking a risk, let's say if one's there at 7, that you like, as opposed to just saying, we're not ready for a quarterback right now. If you find value and you like a player, I'd rather miss on taking that quarterback than I would, I'll be passive and take an O-lineman and worry about the quarterback later.
But if the O-lineman becomes a 7, 8, 9, 10-time Pro Bowler, you still feel that way? Now, there's no guarantees when you call his name either.
I think that there are certain times for it. Like, I wouldn't go nuts screaming the Jets need to take a quarterback right now. All I'm saying is eventually they're going to have to. And who's to say that right now, if Sanders, for example, were to fall to 7, that might not be their best opportunity? We won't know. We can look back on this in 4 or 5 years and be like, they had a chance to take Shador Sanders and they didn't. And look where they are now, desperately needing a quarterback. Say the same thing about the Giants. Look at the top teams in the NFL. You need a quarterback.
I don't dispute that to win a championship, clearly. But I'm not even thinking championship with the Jets or the Giants. Yeah. I'm just not. I mean, the divisions are too good. They're too far away. Their rosters have been decimated by missed, you know, failed draft picks and sloppy free agent signings. I just want to, and it's the least sexy way to do it. I get it. I got to stock the cupboards with some meat and potatoes here.
More of your calls on the NFL draft. Can't wait. It's almost a week away. Tomorrow will be 1 week from the NFL draft. We'll get to that. We'll get to the Knicks coming up at 11 o'clock. But your call is next, 888-808-1019. Talk about Shador Sanders, whether it's the Giants, Jets, or really just the theory of taking a quarterback at a, you know, when you have an opportunity to take one, is it worth the risk? For me, it always is worth the risk. I'm not saying that that's you know, the way you should build a team every single time. And the Jets and Giants certainly in different spots, but it is worth the risk if you have an opportunity to get one. But the Giants are also in a weird spot because they will need a quarterback in this draft. Unlike the Jets, Giants have to get one, mm-hmm. right? Whether it's three, whether it's later, and I think it's going
to
be later.
And you say have to, you mean for the future, because yes. they got two guys who are not very good, but they're not horrendous right
correct.
Now. You're talking
yeah.
about down the road.
I'm talking about franchise quarterback. Yeah. These two guys are not. But they also have to have enough success this year
yeah.
because they're likely not going to take a top guy early, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to take one later, and they've already set up the structure, the infrastructure, to develop that young quarterback
yep.
where you're probably not going to see him this year. So to have it all work, right, it checks one box, okay, satisfy the need for a young potential franchise quarterback, check. Now they have to go out there and win this year with Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston and whatever players that they draft and the roster that they have. They have to win enough to have the owner justify keeping Shane and Dable to be around to develop the quarterback that they selected.
Mm.
Otherwise, the quarterback that they select, round one, round two, round whatever, he's going to be here with a new regime,
yep.
which is also a disaster.
That's the worst thing you could have.
Correct, which is why we've been saying this consistently. Either they should have cleaned house or just take a young quarterback. See, for me, it was about taking a quarterback. Now you're saying you don't want to force the issue if you don't love one. Understand that side of it, but they've put themselves in a spot where the only way now that it could make success, that it could be successful, is if this regime gets a chance to develop the quarterback that they select. And the only way that that's possible, if they don't take one now to start now, which they're not going to, mm-hmm. would be to win enough to keep these guys around and have them see this through two, three more years to see if the quarterback that they select this year is the guy.
It's the worst situation you could possibly have, really. I mean, you really think about this. I mean, with the contracts, the way they're lined up, the philosophies that don't intersect where they really need to. It's just a mishmash, which is why the Giants are and have been a complete disaster for a very long time. My mindset, my belief is this. I think Abdul Carter is going to be an All-Pro, and I think he's going to be an All-Pro very soon. I'm not overthinking it. I'm taking him. And listen, by the way, Sal, we don't know. I think that there's been some intimation from Mara to Shane and Dable. Hey, I don't need you to win 10. Just show me that we're going in the right direction. And now that's objective. Is it eventually a bottom line number of wins? 7? I don't know. Is it just look different? You know, have a different presentation, a much more competitive team? I think it should be that. And if it is that, I think that there's a way to maybe satisfy both,
right.
where they don't win enough right away, but there's enough progress, and you can still develop the kid down the road.
You're right, because we both said either clean them out now or extend them beyond this year, because that's the only other way. Okay, well, if you're extending them beyond this year, meaning 2-3 more years, then you're trusting them, regardless of the results this year, to find their quarterback and develop them. I think that that would be a way that maybe you... Now, that's a big risk based on what we've seen so far from Shane and Dable, trusting them to select their quarterback, giving them 2-3 more years mm-hmm. to develop that quarterback. But at least there would be some consistency in that.
Yeah,
I'm not sure that we're going to get that, though, if the season goes the way that I would expect it to go, which is not going to be very good with Russell Wilson being the quarterback.
I don't mean this disrespectfully. It is what it is. Right now, I have zero faith that John Mara has a true plan. I think that he's kind of in between several things, and I don't know that he really has a great sense of what he's going to do in terms of the future.
And let's say the Giants select Abdul Carter. Let's say they have a really good draft. They get a franchise quarterback potentially in the waiting. How many wins? You're not going to see him on the field this year, but how many wins do you think they have this year, best case?
That's why I went before, and I think it's more about the presentation and how competitive, but I'll give you a number.
All right,
division, tough, brutal schedule. If you get 7, you should be safe.
Okay, right.
I would think.
Okay, fair enough. 7, safe maybe, and then that's just going to kick the can down the road. Okay, and then next year will finally be, which will be going into year 5 of this regime,
yeah.
will finally be the year you think that we're going to see them with their franchise quarterback that they selected. Year
and
5.
Then, you would think, but yeah. then there's also a chance that when they unleash this hypothetical franchise quarterback, yeah. he's not good.
Correct.
I mean, so That is a very undesirable situation right now.
And then it's going to be, well, we need another year, or is it going to be okay? Well, then that's the end of it. All right. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019.
Here's a little prediction for you. The Giants are going to walk away Thursday night with both Shedeur Sanders and Abdul Carter. I was thinking Myles Garrett.
I'll tell you Myles Garrett again.
Something was said today by a GM that Joe Shane knows well. Dan Morgan.
Yes.
Sitting right in front of the New Orleans Saints, declaring he's open for business. That was the guy who was right there, friends with Joe Shane, the Brian Burns trade. I think the Giants are going to do what the Texans did, where they ended up with Stroud and Anderson.
So trade
back to back.
Trade.
And I think they're going to take Abdul Carter at third, and I think they're going to jump the Saints and trade up and get Shedeur Sanders and walk away with both.
That's a bold prediction.
Right.
I think if that happens, and of course we don't know the results till we know the results.
God, that's a long way to come from 34.
They're going to have to give up a lot.
I know they're going to have to give up a lot. And I'm not saying we're going to like it. That's my prediction.
Well, that's what I disagree with. I think the mood of Giant fans, if we're sitting here on Friday morning, Friday afternoon.
What are the Saints, five?
Nine.
Nine.
So nine. There are nine.
I think five back. Eighth
is the pick after the Jets.
So five back from the Giants.
Yeah.
If we are sitting here Friday and they ended up with Abdul Carter and Shedeur Sanders, I think most Giant fans are ecstatic. I do. No matter what you had to give up to get there.
You got a potential generational superstar, and then you also have a quarterback that you can build around.
Yeah. I just find it really difficult to believe the Saints are going to do that, especially now with the Derek Carr situation.
Yeah, but you got to remember, I think the Saints are in more no man's land than the Giants are right now.
Because
what are they doing?
Who's their quarterback?
Exactly.
No, I get you.
But, Evan, what do the Saints have to do? It would be Carolina trading, screwing over the Saints. Their division.
Oh, rival. I apologize. So you're suggesting, I'm sorry.
Jumping the Saints.
Yes, good call. You're right. Well, then there's nothing they could do other than trading up and saying, hey, the Giants are a threat. We'll make a deal with Carolina to move up one slot, or we'll make a deal with the Jets, who are sitting there at seven.
Yeah, but why would the Carolina Panthers do that?
Oh, you're right. They wouldn't do that.
I'm glad you asked.
Well, sometimes inside division trades do happen. Some of the Eagles and the Cowboys do.
A potential generational quarterback?
Yeah.
I don't think so, man. Yeah. That's rough to do.
Yeah.
Remember, this draft is filled with a bunch of guys everybody thinks are closer to round two than round one. So when you get to pick eight, you could have Carolina going, you know what? I'd rather collect more picks and then not take the chance my division rival's getting a superstar quarterback, and I'm making a deal with a GM I trust.
I can't wait for Thursday.
That's an interesting guess, Sean.
I'm just throwing it out there. Yeah. And the Texans.
I saw that he was talking
today,
but I wasn't listening to him.
Yep. That was what was said.
So, is that a prediction or a guess?
That's my prediction today. I read that and I said, I remember the Joe Shane Morgan talk.
Because I think Tiki put you down by calling it a guess. There's a difference between a prediction and a guess.
What? Tell us, Sean.
Isn't all predictions guesses? I'm predicting this happens, yes. And no. I'm also guessing this happens.
No, there's a difference. I'll tell you the difference. A guess is like this idiotic, I'll just throw it out there.
No,
a prediction is, hey, I think this is going to happen, and here's why.
I think it's an educated guess based on what I know about 2GM.
Therefore, a hypothesis.
Okay, it's my hypothesis.
Are you also going to take it a step further and claim that Sean Morash's brain is now reporting that the New York Football Giants?
No, because I don't know what's going on. They may not really like Shedeur Sanders. It's just my educated guess connecting all the dots on what we know.
Let's go to Chris in East Hanover. Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Just one point on the Giants, and I just want to get your thoughts on the NBA playoffs. But I couldn't agree more with you, Sean. You know, I was just going to say the same thing. I think what the Giants are doing is they're reviewing every quarterback, because there was talk this morning, too, that they would jump back in. They would take Abdul or Travis, and they would jump back in. And if they could get Shedeur if he drops, or even if they have to grab Jackson Dart before he gets taken, probably at the end of the first. So I'm with you, Sean. I completely think that that's the way they're going to go, and that's why they're doing this. And then one other point on the Knicks. I'm a diehard Knicks fan, and if we lose in round one versus Detroit, Tibbs has got to go. I love him. He's a great coach. And secondarily, I want to get you guys picks for the winner coming out of the East and the winner coming out of the West for the NBA Finals.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that question, Chris, because I was debating, when do we do that? Because we always put our predictions out there. We save the audio, and then we make fun of ourselves when we're wrong or right. Do we do it prior to the play-in tournament, which begins tonight, or do we wait until the real playoff teams are set and make those predictions Friday?
Mm.
My opinion is to wait till Friday.
Right. Well, I mean, why rush it?
Yeah, why rush it? Let the Fugazi, it's not the playoffs, but it's not the regular season games, happen. Obviously, we saw Miami go on a run a couple of years ago as a play-in team and go from there. The only thing I can tell you, and Tiki heard me talking about this, I think, to myself in my office a few days ago. I write down every prediction I ever make, and usually I tweet it out. So I was checking my preseason NBA predictions. Like, hey, what did I say? I forgot. Mm-hmm. Let me see how close it is. So before the season started, I predicted the Milwaukee Bucks and the Denver Nuggets in the NBA Finals. As we sit here today, I don't think I'm going to stick with that because picking the Bucks with all the flaws they have and the questions around Dame's health seems like a stupid prediction.
Yeah.
And Denver, I feel a little bit better about, even after the Michael Malone firing, but I don't feel great, Teak, about my preseason prediction.
No, you shouldn't, because neither one of those teams have a straightforward path to getting there. Denver might.
Oh, Denver's got a shot, yeah.
What did I say? Do you have mine?
No, because I wrote it down. I don't think we even did it on the air. I think I wrote it down and tweeted it out. It was the NBA. I think if I asked you, you were like, dude, it's football season. Why are you asking me this right now?
That sounds like an answer I would absolutely say.
But on Friday, we will make our official NBA Finals predictions. Also, CP the Franchise will join us. We'll get you set for that Knicks series. Now, one thing Chris said about Tom Thibodeau, and I know that we've done this too. Okay, so I know that I am guilty of this. We got to stop talking about firing Tom Thibodeau before the series has begun. This is now a common thing. My good buddy Michael Vaccaro wrote an article about it too. We brought it up on enough, all right? The Knicks are playing the Pistons in the first round of a best-of-seven series. They are heavy favorites to win.
Mm-hmm.
We can analyze the series. We're going to break the series down. If they lose game one, sure, people are going to panic. We got to stop. If they lose, we're firing Tibbs. Let them lose. Then we'll talk about firing Tibbs. It feels like this weird, what's it called when you talk something into existence?
Self-fulfilling prophecy?
Yes. It's this weird psycho self-fulfilling prophecy.
Right.
And so I, as the IBO, and I know, Tommy, you're going to agree with me on this. We got to stop.
Totally. I think a lot of Knicks fans, I'll say it, have given up.
How have you given up? You're the favorite
because
to win this
round. Feel like they can't beat the Celtics. They can't beat the Cavs. So they're like, all right, we can't beat an elite team. And if they ever lost to the Pistons, they got to can the head coach. Newsflash, if the Stars don't want him gone, he's not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. I don't care if they lose to the Pistons. They lost to the Pacers last year.
No. You screwed up. You're doing it. You're doing it. Did you see what he's doing?
You sound like my wife. Whatever.
You're engaging in it.
I didn't ask for directions.
You're breaking it down.
Yeah.
No, don't break it down. Just remind the audience and Knicks fans.
Just dismiss it.
Thank you.
All right. Take two. We have a big playoff series coming up here against Detroit. Let's get pumped up. Let's get excited for it. And we'll talk about the end of the season when the season's over and all we have to do in the offseason.
That's right.
Better?
And you know what? I'm going to take things a step further. Yeah. I'll do it. I'll be the guy.
Oh, here we go.
I haven't heard anyone do it yet.
Is this IBO take?
IBO.
Okay.
You're not going to believe it's an IBO take, though. I just know the way you are. Let's go Knicks. That's not what I said. Let me make this perfectly clear. As an IBO, the Knicks are going to kick ass tonight?
I didn't say any of that yet.
I was doing some tape watching last night. I was analyzing the Pistons' weaknesses, strengths, the whole thing, their rotations. I will make this very, very clear. There is no chance in hell the Knicks are losing this series. Mm. No way.
Tommy, don't respond at all.
You don't have to respond. I'm just telling you right now, will you get a scare? Maybe.
Mm.
It's possible. But there is no way J.B. Bickerstaff and the Detroit Pistons...
Don't respond, Tommy.
...are going to find a way to win 4 of 7 games...
I know what he's doing.
...against the New York Knicks.
He's baiting you.
No chance. Not happening. I'm looking forward to the series. I hope I'm wrong. Obviously, I am a Knicks hater, but I'm telling you, this is an IBO.
Okay.
The biggest upset of any first-round series. I take that back.
Stop it!
It won't be the biggest
upset.
You
went too far.
Yeah, that's too far. Let me take that back. One of the bigger, more shocking results of the NBA playoffs would be the Detroit Pistons, who haven't won a round since the Rip Hamilton, Ben Wallace era.
Wow.
Okay? I mean, I'm serious. They've been in the playoffs twice since then. And I hated those guys.
Wow, that feels like forever ago.
It was. There's no chance in hell.
No chance in hell!
No chance whatsoever. The Knicks are losing this series to the Pistons.
Mm. Well, I'm betting the Pistons.
You can do whatever you want. I'm just telling you. IBO.
You know that emotional insurance thing, Tommy? You might want to look into that.
But you guys are something else.
Dude, I know you.
What does that mean?
I can hear Evan going...
April 15th, 4:22. Can you go back and pull when I said that?
Well, I'll tell you right now, pull it now, because no matter what happens, we'll replay it. If I'm right, I'll remind you I'm right.
Uh-huh.
And if I'm wrong, I'll have to wear a massive L. Happiest L I'll ever wear. By the way, I've decided, Tommy, it's between you and one other person for game two of the Knicks-Pistons series, assuming it falls on Tuesday.
Okay.
I'm deciding between Tommy Lugauer and Tiki Barber. Mm. Those are my two options on the Chase Bridge for game two.
I don't know how many times I have to say this on the air. You cannot, and I know, Teak, you're a humble guy, but I'll speak for you. You can't bring the Giants' all-time leading rusher onto the Chase Bridge.
Why not?
Because you can't. Because you can't. You could bring Loogie. You could bring Sean. You could bring Big Zoo. I'm sorry. You could even bring BT or Sal Licata. You can't bring Tiki Barber to the Chase Bridge.
I'm not bringing Sal. He's in ticket timeout, so that's not
happening. You could be a man of the people, but you're a little bit higher up than that. You should be courtside.
I'll be very high up.
And that's why, Evan, you should be bringing me
Tommy,
to the Chase
Tommy,
Bridge,
you're
not
screwing
TV.
Up.
There's a good chance my wife's going to say, hell no.
On a Tuesday?
On a Tuesday?
We got to watch The Last of Us.
But right now, we are all going to make our comparison predictions of what Shedeur Sanders is going to be at the next level, because that will help guide us into if he's worth selecting at number three. So let me go first, since I've already said it. It's not a surprise. I think he's going to be a solid NFL starter. I use Derek Carr as a comparison. Tommy has said this to me off air. Like, what about Baker Mayfield? I agree with Baker Mayfield. I think that's a great comp. I think that Baker confuses people because he ended up bouncing around the league.
Yeah.
So when you hear that as a comp, you're like, well, is he going to stick with my team? But I think he can be on that level, like between 10th to 15th best quarterback in the league. I love his accuracy. I love his smarts. I love his confidence. He's not the most athletic guy in the world, but all those...
Why would we draft that guy then?
Well, did you hear what I just said about the intelligence and the accuracy?
Yeah, but that's Daniel Jones.
Well, forget Daniel Jones!
But
Daniel
Jones, in Tiki's mind now.
But Daniel Jones was probably the 16th best quarterback in the league.
Well, I'll tell you this. In the right circumstances, maybe things would have been different with Daniel Jones.
I 100% agree. I projected. I thought he would be better than he actually
I'll tell you
was.
A big difference. No, because you said it. So I'm going to use your words against you.
Okay.
Because you're slandering Shedeur a little bit.
I'm not slandering him at all. I actually think he's going to be better than what you're saying, but keep going.
Okay. You mentioned Daniel Jones. It concerned you that he didn't win at Duke.
Mm-hmm.
I saw Shedeur Sanders go to multiple schools and elevate both of them.
Yep.
Now, it's not all him. I understand that. He's the freaking quarterback. That matters. So that impresses me. That's a big deal. And guess what? Your program needs elevating too. Giants need to be elevated. And I like his swagger and I like his confidence. And you know what else I like? I think it benefits him that his dad played in the NFL.
Yeah. I 100% agree with that.
Just like it benefits Vlad Guerrero Jr.,
right.
Who started off this season in like this massive slump.
Right.
You don't think in the back of his mind he gets a call from dad and says, hey, son, I had that happen to me in 1996. Right. I think it matters.
Or Patrick Peterson.
Yeah.
Whose dad was a pretty good player, and his son is a really good player. So it absolutely benefits because there's someone trustworthy and who really cares, genuinely cares, that can help you do your job better. I think Shedeur Sanders is going to be a multiple Pro Bowler. I'm not saying he's going to be all pros. I'm going to be top three quarterback in football. But I do think he's going to make a couple of Pro Bowls in his career. I think he's going to have not a super long career. He's not playing 20 years. But I think he can play 10 to like 14 years in the NFL and be a really good quarterback and make a couple of Pro Bowls and lead his team to in the postseason. And based on that question, the greatest question ever asked, would you take that? Yeah, you would take that.
So you want the Giants taking him at three?
I don't know if the Giants put him in that best position to be that guy that he can be. That's my problem.
That's the caveat.
That's the caveat. Because, look, I know the offensive line is better, but is it good yet? I know the skill position players are better. Malik Nabers is one of the best in the business, but is it fooled yet? The answer is no.
Mm.
And they have a lot. They have some ways to go till they get there. Now, could that happen this season and next year's draft? Yes. But the only way it's going to happen is if there isn't a regime change. And that's what I fear is imminent, a regime change.
No, it is.
And when you do that, as we've seen with the Bears this year, as we saw with the Carolina Panthers, as we've seen multiple times now with the Jacksonville Jaguars, that it just derails you. You need some consistency. And I fear that consistency might not be there for the Giants.
All right. Interesting. I wrote down multiple Pro Bowlers. Giants may not best prepare him to be in that position.
Yes.
That's the prediction of one Tiki Barber. Sean Morash, evaluate in your humble, giant-loving brain, Shedeur Sanders at the next level?
I'm going to preface this by saying I've been consistent on this with quarterbacks. I think a lot of quarterbacks can be doomed by where they go or propped up by, and Tiki, I think, generally agrees. Right. My instinct tells me, watching as much Shedeur Sanders in real time in college, I think he has, ironically enough, a Russell Wilson-type career.
Hmm.
I think he will win a Super Bowl in his career. We will debate whether that Super Bowl was more defensive-driven or part of him. I think he will make multiple Pro Bowls, and I think eventually he will end up in a second or third stop in his career where he's not as good as he was the first stop, and we, in the end, will have a major debate about how great he was in his career, but with a ring and multiple Pro Bowls.
So I just want to be clear about this, because Tiki threw in a caveat, but I would still say this to you as well, Tiki, but more so to Sean. You both should be screaming at the top of your lungs to draft Shedeur Sanders based on the way you guys evaluate him. I'm sorry.
I want them to take a swing.
Okay. No. It's not take a swing. It's I will be pissed if you don't draft him because you're viewing him as a borderline Hall of Famer. I didn't go with that far.
Yeah.
I said I think he's going to be good.
I don't think. Look, I think that's only true if everything goes right wherever he's drafted.
Correct.
And maybe it's just a lack of trust that it's going to happen with the Giants. And I want to believe in Joe Shane. And I do. I already believe in Dabes because he's coach of the year. You don't just win that thing by accident. We saw it. We talked about the accountability, the earn your right to play in games. We saw all that. I don't think it's any different. I called games of his over the last couple of years, and I trust what he's doing with that with the team. But they have to get this right. And if I'm the Giants right now, and there is a chance for a generational type talent at number three, you go get that player.
Mm.
And that might not be the quarterback that we're talking about.
Tommy Lugauer. I have no idea what Tommy's going to say. I got to tell you, and I'm actually very excited. No offense to Tiki or Sean. I'm most excited to hear Tommy's opinion on Shedeur because this could go one way or the other. He thought Tommy DeVito was going to the Hall of Fame. He wanted to wait on Aaron Rodgers. You're very unpredictable. Tommy Lugauer, what will Shedeur Sanders be in the NFL? Go.
I believe Shedeur Sanders will be a star in the league. I think he has the highest ceiling of any quarterback coming out. That said, I also think he has the highest potential to flame out.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't see that with him, by the way.
Only because on paper, there is potential when you're not just drafting Shedeur. You're drafting the Sanders family dynasty.
You think that's a negative, though?
I don't know. I think it depends on the situation. I think it depends on the organization. I think it depends on everything else. But I think he's a star on and off the field. I think he will do great for the social media. And if you don't think teams care about that stuff, they do.
So
I think he'll sell a lot of jerseys. I like other quarterbacks in the draft as well. I want the quarterback at three. I'm a big Jackson Dart fan, too. I think Shedeur has the highest ceiling in this draft, though. I think he has the most potential to be a star quarterback. Why I'm not screaming? Besides Joe Burrow, what pocket passing quarterback in the league right now is a great quarterback? I can't think of any. Stafford, yeah, but he's old. Rodgers, yeah, but he's old. So he would be bucking the trend. He's a pocket, you know, passer.
Sure.
And right now, all the elite quarterbacks run. He doesn't. So he would be bucking the trend a little
but I think he has
all the makings.
But you know what's so funny about that? Like, I actually look at Shedeur Sanders as the guy with the highest floor, and his ceiling is maybe not as high as you said, but the reason it doesn't go as high is the last thing you said, which is that athleticism.
Right. Can I?
So why would you then think? See, I think he's safe. I think Shedeur's solid. That's why, like, I'm almost disappointed because of all of you, I'm not the most optimistic compared to the rest of you guys. But I thought I was optimistic by saying I don't think he has high bust factor. I think he's solid.
I'm purely speculating. I actually don't know who coached him in high school. Has anyone else coached him besides his father?
That's a good question.
I wonder, like, when you get into the NFL, look, when your dad's Deion Sanders, you're going to be ready to play in the league. You know the do's, the don'ts, you know everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder, and there's a lot of coaches at Colorado. I'm curious to see how he would react if things go wrong and his dad isn't there or just the blanket of the security. And if he can overcome that, I think he's a star.
Yeah, the reason I wouldn't worry about that is because, and I'm surmising here, I don't know Deion, but I'm assuming that Deion has coached him not just to win games in college, but to prepare himself for the next level. And Deion knew, likelihood is, I'm not coaching you at the next level.
Yeah.
So I think that Deion has probably prepared him for the adversity that he may face at the next level.
By the way,
when you're coached by somebody that's not me.
By the way, what I said about 35 minutes ago, and that Deion specifically went and got Pat Shurmur as his offensive coordinator, that's exactly what I was alluding to. He wanted a NFL coach to coach him.
To help prepare him for that next level.
To help prepare him.
Yeah.
That's exactly why Pat Shurmur was the offensive coordinator. Before that, he was a consultant, and then he became the offensive coordinator for the Colorado Buffaloes. And it makes sense.
And Shador's also worked a lot with Brady. I mean, I don't know how you can learn any better. That's the best pocket quarterback in the history of the NFL. Evan doesn't want to hear that, but that's reality.
No. I have nothing but respect for Tom Brady's greatness. It's everything else about him that drives me nuts. By the way, I did a lot of research on Deflategate because, as you may or may not know...
Why are you doing research on Deflategate?
Oh, yeah. Tiki doesn't know.
I don't know.
Because next Tuesday at 4:30 on WFAN... I am facing Tiki Barber in a debate about Roger Goodell.
Oh, I see.
And I told him I need time to prepare because I want to throw everything at Tiki in this hard-hitting debate, and I wanted everything. So, yeah, Deflategate may be mentioned. All right. It may not be mentioned. I don't know. I'll decide what I'm going to mention at you.
Oh, you could throw whatever. You could have that debate with me now.
No, not now. I'm not prepared yet, Tiki.
I'm always prepared.
Okay, but I'm not. So I'm not.
I don't have to get ready because I stay ready.
Okay.
Talk about Shador Sanders, whether it's the Giants, Jets, or really just the theory of taking a quarterback at a, you know, when you have an opportunity to take one, is it worth the risk? For me, it always is worth the risk. I'm not saying that that's, you know, the way you should build a team every single time, and the Jets and Giants certainly in different spots, but it is worth the risk if you have an opportunity to get one. But the Giants are also in a weird spot because they will need a quarterback in this draft. Unlike the Jets, Giants have to get one, right? Whether it's three, whether it's later, and I think it's going to be later.
And you say have to, you mean for the future, because they got two guys who are not very good, but they're not horrendous right
correct.
Now. You're talking about down the road.
I'm talking about franchise quarterback. Yeah. These two guys are not. But they also have to have enough success this year because they're likely not going to take a top guy early, right? They're going to take one later, and they've already set up the structure, the infrastructure, to develop that young quarterback where you're probably not going to see him this year. So to have it all work, right, it checks one box. Okay, satisfy the need for a young potential franchise quarterback. Check. Now they have to go out there and win this year with Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston and whatever players that they draft and the roster that they have. They have to win enough to have the owner justify keeping Shane and Dable to be around to develop the quarterback that they selected. Otherwise, the quarterback that they select, round one, round two, round whatever, he's going to be here with a new regime, which is also a disaster.
That's the worst thing you could have.
Correct, which is why we've been saying this consistently. Either they should have cleaned house or just take a young quarterback. See, for me, it was about taking a quarterback. Now you're saying you don't want to force the issue if you don't love one. Understand that side of it, but they've put themselves in a spot where the only way now that it could make success, that it could be successful, is if this regime gets a chance to develop the quarterback that they select. And the only way that that's possible, if they don't take one now to start now, which they're not going to, would be to win enough to keep these guys around and have them see this through two, three more years to see if the quarterback that they select this year is the guy.
It's the worst situation you could possibly have, really. I mean, you really think about this. I mean, with the contracts, the way they're lined up, the philosophies that don't intersect where they really need to. It's just a mishmash, which is why the Giants are and have been a complete disaster for a very long time. My mindset, my belief is this. I think Abdul Carter is going to be an All-Pro, and I think he's going to be an All-Pro very soon. I'm not overthinking it. I'm taking him. And listen, by the way, Sal, we don't know. I think that there's been some intimation from Mara to Shane and Dable. Hey, I don't need you to win 10. Just show me that we're going in the right direction. And now that's objective. Is it eventually a bottom line number of wins? 7? I don't know. Is it just look different? You know, have a different presentation, a much more competitive team? I think it should be that. And if it is that, I think that there's a way to maybe satisfy both, where they don't win enough right away, but there's enough progress, and you can still develop the kid down the road.
You're right, because we both said either clean them out now or extend them beyond this year, because that's the only other way. Okay, well, if you're extending them beyond this year, meaning 2-3 more years, then you're trusting them, regardless of the results this year, to find their quarterback and develop them. I think that that would be a way that maybe you... Now, that's a big risk based on what we've seen so far from Shane and Dable, trusting them to select their quarterback, giving them 2-3 more years to develop that quarterback. But at least that would there would be some consistency in that.
Yeah,
I'm not sure that we're going to get that, though, if the season goes the way that I would expect it to go, which is not going to be very good with Russell Wilson being the quarterback.
I don't mean this disrespectfully. It is what it is. I have zero faith that John Mara has a true plan. I think that he's kind of in between several things, and I don't know that he really has a great sense of what he's going to do in terms of the future.
And let's say the Giants select Abdul Carter, let's say they have a really good draft, they get a franchise quarterback potentially in the waiting. How many wins? You're not going to see him on the field this year, but how many wins do you think they have this year, best case?
That's why I went before, and I think it's more about the presentation and how competitive, but I'll give you a number.
All right,
brutal schedule. If you get 7, you should be safe.
Okay, right.
I would think.
Okay, fair enough. 7, safe maybe. And then that's just going to kick the can down the road. Okay, and then next year will finally be, which will be going into year 5 of this regime, will finally be the year you think that we're going to see them with their franchise quarterback that they selected. Year 5.
Then, you would think, but then there's also a chance that when they unleash this hypothetical franchise quarterback, he's not good.
Correct.
That is a very undesirable situation right now.
Well, we need another year, or is it going to be okay? Well, then that's the end of it.